This is Spinning on Air. I'm David Garland, sitting in the WNYC studio across from Jozef van Wissem, who is a Dutch-born lutenist and a composer. He plays a very old instrument, but the music he plays on it is brand new. Many of the pieces his own compositions. Some of it refers back to the Baroque traditions of the instrument, but an instrument is an instrument. It doesn't dictate what sort of music gets played on it, but this one has a very unusual and gorgeous sound. There are 24 strings on this lute, sort of divided among two different necks, and I'm going to take some photos and place them where you can see them on our website, wnyc.org. But what it's really all about is not how it looks, but how it sounds. Jozef van Wissem, play us some music on your lute, please.
Thank you.
Josef van Wissem, performing here in the WNYC studio on a Baroque-style lute with 24 strings on it in 13 courses, as they say. So most of the strings are in pairs, sometimes in unison, otherwise in octaves. And there are a couple strings that are just by themselves. And before we even talk about the instrument, which is the color of the instrument is such an integral part of the music, but the music itself, we heard first an original composition, is that right?
Yeah, it's the composition I wrote. It's called How the Soul Has Arrived at Understanding of Her Nothingness.
Oh, okay. My soul hasn't arrived there yet, but I'm working on it. And the next piece was, that was very austere, as some of your music is, and sort of minimalist, but quite a surprise to the ear when you brought out the bottleneck associated with blues guitar and applied that to the lute.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of an update. I try to update the instrument and make it more contemporary and also make it more sexy, you know. So, yeah, like, you know, the lute has in of itself quite a bad image, like the image of you stand under a balcony and serenade a lady and then you get a flower pot thrown at you. And I try to change that by, you know, doing all sorts of things to the instrument, like, for example, using a bottleneck or maybe adding field recordings or electronics. So it becomes like, you know, more of a contemporary instrument again, and trying to like dust it off, so to speak.
Mm. I don't blame you for doing that, because there probably are assumptions and prejudices about the instrument and associations to ancient music that are a little overwhelming. But, you know, I don't expect a violinist to be deeply influenced by early Baroque music. Mm-hmm. Their instrument goes back that far and maybe a little further.
Yes.
But we're more familiar with the diversity of styles being used on a violin or even a guitar. A guitarist, I wouldn't assume, is going to play ancient guitar music. So the lute is just an instrument. It's not a style. But it does have these associations, I guess.
Yeah, it comes with strings attached.
You must have used that before.
No, that's the first time. No, the thing is that when you study the lute, there's a lot of, you know, you get taught to play it a certain way.
I suppose any lute teacher is going to teach ancient music on the instrument.
Like historically informed way of teaching. And I guess, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But in order to like take it to a new audience, I guess helps to do like other contemporary ways of seeing it, or like adapting it, or putting it in a different context.
Yeah.
And I think that helps taking it out of the museum. Otherwise, it just stays in the museum. If you only play classical pieces, which is fine. You know, I did a classical CD also, like with pure anonymous pieces, classical lute pieces. But I think it's more functional to, you know, write new pieces for the instrument so it gets a new life.
Hmm.
I think that's really quite important, at least for me.
Sure, because it's a wonderful sonority, It's great to hear any music played on it.
Yeah.
After your original piece, you played something that reminded me of Erik Satie, one of his Gymnopédies, but it seemed to be sort of freely interpreted.
Yes, no, it's my own piece, but it has that kind of vibe, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And then your more actively fingered piece.
It's a prelude. It's a Baroque prelude. And but what I do is I quote the theme and then I play it backwards. So the whole piece becomes a palindrome.
You're interested in mirror images and palindromes.
Yes.
And
I like to write that way. Yeah. It's just a way of kind of, I guess, dealing with this material. You know, I still play the scales and classical lute repertoire, and it's informed by that. But I like to change it around. I don't want to play atonal music on the lute.
You know, it's not really built for that,
is it? It's not built for that, no. Yeah. So, you know, I still respect the way, you know, the way it sounds and the way the compositions were written for it. But I try to do something contemporary to the compositions in a way by mirroring them. So it's just a way of kind of personalizing the material.
Well, I appreciate that you're taking this old instrument and just delving into what it can do and sort of what the instrument wants to do. And it's an interesting sound. There's so much resonance because you do have 24 strings going on, so there is a bit of sympathetic resonance happening. But each individual note has such an interesting quality. The sound sort of bursts and then it falls away. You know, it doesn't have quite the sustain on all the strings. It has less sustain than some guitars, and yet the sound is so present when it's first struck and doesn't die away immediately like a banjo. It's got its own character and characteristics.
I think you can compare the technique a little bit with harpsichord.
Mm-hmm.
I think that comes closer than this, you know, comparing it to a guitar.
What are the similarities then for you to the harpsichord?
Well, first of all, the technique, the way it's played with the bass, you know, the open basses that do not get fretted, like kind of like a left hand on the piano.
Yes, I should describe to listeners, again, I've taken some photos that I've posted on the on Flickr, flickr.com/photos/spinningonair, and you can see one at wnyc.org as well. But the instrument has basically two necks, one that grows out of the other. On the longest neck are open strings that do not get fingered with your fretting hand.
They call it the bass rider.
Okay.
So
why don't you play a note or two of that so people... And maybe the lowest... Yeah. So those notes are there, available to you to pluck, but you're not fingering those notes, so you're not changing those pitches with your left hand. But on the shorter portion of the lute neck, there are several frets, and those are... It's a beautiful sound, a lot more like an oud than a guitar in its sound. I mean, I suppose that is its nearest relative, right?
I guess it's where it's come from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the Mid-Eastern lute-like instrument.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, but it's a different, totally different technique.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, totally different repertoire.
Yeah. You're going to play us some more music?
Yes, I'm going to play three pieces. The first one's called Our Hearts Condemn Us. The one after that is In Him Is No Sin. And then... I'll play two more. It's How Long Will It Go On after You Have Gone? And finally, It Is All That Is Made.
All right. More music and performances by Josef van Wissem.
Thank you.
Josef van Wissem. I'm David Garland. This is Spinning on Air. I'm in the studio with Josef van Wissem, who has brought his lute and his compositions and a sense of concentration that it pulls my brain in two ways. It puts me on the edge of my seat, and it also puts me in a bit of a trance. Is that an effect you want?
Well, it's just something that happens when the show or when the concert or the performance goes well, then you just get kind of taken away or so.
Do you as a performer?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Hmm.
And let's talk about tuning. You spent some time before the session began tuning your instrument, but you also remarked about how you like to have it not quite in tune. Tell me about that.
Yeah, sometimes there's a thrill, like when you play the pieces a lot of times, so they're compositions, so I do a lot of concerts, so, and I'm kind of into the repetition of that. But I also like sometimes to be a little bit out of tune, because then it becomes a little bit more exciting to me. Because I kind of play in the style of early music, I kind of like to mess around with it a little bit too. So that's why I sometimes like to have it a little bit out of tune. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you enjoy music by Harry Parch, is that right?
Sure, yeah. I'm a big fan, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that kind of sound.
Harry Parch is really about a lot of layers of instrumental pieces. And I guess my last work is about that too, where you combine a lot of melodic, harmonious stuff and you stack them on top of each other. And then in the end, it starts to become oblique, because there's so much of that material, of the happy stuff, that it becomes unhappy. So that's kind of my thing now. And I think that he did that also. Of course, with his self-built instruments.
But, yes. Yeah. Well, I think what you're describing is a piece of yours I listened to just recently where you do add layers of lute playing the same figure, but it's a little bit out of tune, each layer from the other. So it gets this kind of, I don't know if I'd call it unhappy, but it gets a sonic buzz going anyway, which makes me happy.
Okay.
I'm David Garland, and Josef van Wissem is here with me. You were born in Holland, but you live in Brooklyn these days, is that so?
I was born in Holland, and right now I'm kind of traveling between the States and Europe, because I do a lot of concerts. And I guess I get that asked a lot. I usually say I live in airports.
Uh-huh. You know. Well, you use the sound of airports in one of your releases.
Yeah.
Describe that, because everyone listening to this show is hearing only the straight acoustic sound, but that's not the only thing that interests you. Huh?
Well, I thought, you know, again, to like kind of update the sound and the lute a little bit, to use field recordings. And I spend a lot of time in airports, and I thought that the atmosphere there was quite displacing, especially the announcements. Mm. They were that you hear there. So I recorded those and kind of used an ambient effect on them. So they go from left to right on the speakers on the recording. And you hear stuff like, you know, don't leave your baggage alone, because, you know, we'll be destroyed and that kind of stuff.
And this becomes the background to a performance on the lute.
Yes. Yes, I use that a lot of during a lot of live shows too for a while, and it's just like updating it with field recordings basically. And also, I thought in hindsight it was kind of interesting, because you travel so much as a musician and people don't see that. They only see like the hour you're up there, and they think, you know, this is a really glamorous existence, but there's a lot of waiting and a lot of traveling. So in a way, you know, you show that when you play that live and you add those recordings, then it becomes like, oh yeah, you know, I was in a non-place before, and you can witness it, and, you know.
A non-place.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what airports are, aren't they?
Yes.
This is Spinning on Air. I'm David Garland in the WNYC studio with Josef van Wissem. And Irene Trudell and Edward Haber have been engineers, assisted by Chase Colpon. And you have more music for us?
Yeah.
Tell us about what you're going to play.
I'm going to play a short piece called X-Nex. which means from death, and this relates to the instrument. Try to like bring it back from death, you know. And it also refers to the title of my release on Important Records, Expadris, which translates into from the fathers, which is again from death. You know, like the instrument is, you know, it's delivered from these generations of people, and you know, I try to bring it back because it has been dead for over 200 years. And so that's why it's called Ex Next. Then the next piece is called The Day Is Coming, and then the last one is Love Is a Religion.
Some more performances on this 13-course, 24-string lute by my guest, Josef van Wissem. Thank you. A fascinating quality to the lute that is so sonically rich, where because all the strings are doubled, almost all of them, and the pairs are never going to quite behave like each other, there's just so many sounds in there, and you're not striving particularly to smooth out the rough edges of the sound, as we spoke of the tuning before.
Yeah. A lot has to do also with the way this instrument is built. The builder, Michael Schreiner,
It's a newly built instrument.
Yeah,
it's based on an ancient one.
It's a reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
And he built this, well, he built it quite big. They get kind of built according to the size of your hand and body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like something like you go to a store and they're hanging there and you.
Uh-huh.
He just like really, you know, does a good job. And this one is particularly big. That's why it sounds that way. You get like a totally different sound from a smaller lute. And I guess that's all, that has a lot to do with that. Plus, of course, that the bass strings are quite long, as you can see. And that makes them, you know, give them that vibration.
What are they, about 4 feet long, 5 feet long?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, wow. You began as a guitarist when you were a kid?
Yeah, I started at age 11. I studied classical guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And did that for a while. And then also I played electric guitar. And then I kind of got sick of the possibilities. Like, you know, it was like kind of... yeah, I didn't really get the feeling that I could add anything, and I tried different tunings and stuff. But then at one point I remembered that during classical guitar lessons, they made you play lute pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remembered that repertoire, and I thought, oh, this is kind of interesting. Let's see, you know. And then in the Village Voice, I came across an ad for a lute teacher, and then I studied lute here.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was studying old repertoire.
Early
for
music.
The old instrument.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Renaissance lute and Baroque lute. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And some of the sort of minimalist approach that you're using in your own compositions mm-hmm. actually echoes some of that ancient lute music. Some of them are built around very simple repeating figures, aren't they?
Yeah. There are there's a lot of really nice classical material. I would even use a term that they rock, you know, like they're like rocking Renaissance pieces.
Yeah.
And it's just like the way they're played or executed that is not so rocking. But if you like kind of update them a little bit or change them around a little bit, they sound really like, you know, like contemporary. And there's a lot of that stuff, actually. There's a lot of jewels.
Yeah. In the ancient repertoire.
In the early music repertoire, yes.
Yeah. Josef van Wissem is here with me, and do you have one more thing you can play for us to conclude the broadcast?
Oh, you've got something really short.
Okay, that would be great. What's the title of what you'll play now?
Oh, this is called JFK.
Okay. Thank you for your performances here in the studio.
Thank you for having me here. Thank you.
Josef van Wissem here in the WNYC studio. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Beautiful.
Thank you.